Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of AI Chats, a podcast series produced by the law firm of Haynes & Boone and lawyers from its AI and deep learning practice group. Our intention is to explore the exciting, ever-evolving, and occasionally controversial world of artificial intelligence. My name is Eugene Goryanov, and I'm a partner in the Chicago office of the firm. I'm joined by my colleagues, Dina Blickstein from our New York office and Nicolette Nunez from our Orange County office. Today, for our latest episode, we're going to talk about using AI in the financial industry. Now, financial institutions around the world have been using AI to prepare investment strategies, customer behavior analysis, portfolio analysis, and a lot of other things. Everyone's jumping on the AI bandwagon. And we are going to get into an exciting discussion of all the various implementations of AI. But before we get started, our standard disclaimer. This podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be legal advice and does not establish an attorney-client relationship. The topics we discuss are subject to change. Legal advice of any nature should be sought from your legal counsel. Now, with that wonderful introduction in place, Dina, tell me, how are banks using AI?
Well, Eugene, I think we should broaden it up from the banks and just say financial institutions, because everyone are using it. And the question is, it's not how they're using it. It's more of how they're not using it. It's just everywhere. So let's start with trading strategies, right? AI models are predicting what kind of trading strategies should be used both on an individual and also on, on a more global level, right? There's portfolio analytics. There is voice-based commerce. So take a chatbot. We all heard of ChatGPT, right? And extend it to conversation with a user and that makes recommendations. There are chatbots for customer services. So later we'll talk about the Bank of America's Erica, right? There's AI models for identity verification. For example, when a person is opening a bank account, 401k, or applying for a mortgage. And of course, last but not least is fraud detection. AI is great at finding patterns. It uses those patterns to detect anomalies, and it can detect fraud in real time. Now, whether it's fraud with somebody opening an account, using a credit card for an authorized payment, or trading. AI is great at detecting fraud. So in fact, what many institutions are started doing, right, they are collaborating with top universities and opening AI labs. So if you look at JPMC, for example, they began to collaborate with Carnegie Mellon to open up an AI lab to explore different AI analytics and build AI models that benefit both the university and also JPMC.
Understood. Well, look, I've been hearing about this new product from Ernst & Young called the Smart Advisor. Nicolette, you want to take us through that?
Yeah. So one example of how financial institutions are using AI is Ernst & Young Smart Advisor. EY developed an AI-powered tool that's able to give its relationship managers real-time and contextually relevant pricing intelligence. So it gives this real-time feedback by quickly analyzing and combining large quantities of historical pricing data with the bank's deal structuring expertise. And lots of banks are investing in AI research. JP Morgan, for example, actually has developed and fully funded an entire AI research sector, and numerous studies have been published out of that research center on the diverse capabilities of AI. One interesting study coming out of JP Morgan assesses the feasibility of fully replicating an agent's trading behavior, which is pretty cool. The study explored implementing the neural network algorithms to develop agent-based models that are optimized to trade in different and specific kinds of markets. And the study basically implemented opponent modeling techniques that were used to create trading agent archetypes that could then be identified and classified, and showed how behavioral cloning can be used to imitate different kinds of agents trading in diverse simulated trading settings.
That's fascinating. Gina, can you add us something to our discussion?
Sure. So with so many financial institutions using and implementing AI models, everyone is talking about how do you train those models, right? And it all comes down to training data, right? So whether we're developing a trading strategy or a portfolio strategy, that strategy would be developed based on previous trading that has occurred, right? And the more complete the data set for those trading strategies, the better AI model can be, right? Because AI models, they're essentially used by examples, by the use cases that have occurred in the past, right? But one of the challenges is, well, what happens if there is not enough data, right? How do I create and test the additional use cases so my trading strategies or portfolio strategies are actually better than those of competitors? So what a lot of institutions started doing is creating their own data called synthetic data, right? So whether that data is created by a data scientist or by actually training another AI model to create that synthetic data, right? Now, with that synthetic data, when an institution is trying to create a new trading strategy or a more complete trading strategy, all of a sudden they have the data that competitors don't have. So there's a huge investment in this synthetic data set space, because a lot of time those synthetic data sets can actually give institutions a competitive advantage over their competitors. So another area that the banks have been exploring is explainable AI, right? And that is, how does those AI models, which are essentially black boxes, how do they make decisions? Right, you have data coming in, the model is usually a black box, and you have an output, right? Well, in the financial space, is how you get to that result is becoming extremely important, both for regulatory users and also both for individuals, right? So for example, if a person is applying for a credit card or a mortgage and is rejected by AI, right, there needs to be an explanation of why it happened, right? And you have a lot of institutions that are putting a lot of research and money into the explainability, right? So if AI comes up with a decision or a result, there's an explanation of why that occurred.
So it sounds like there's a lot of different implementations available of AI, especially in finance. And what about using chatbots? I mean, I think everyone has run into a chatbot on a website. Can financial institutions benefit from using chatbots, maybe to improve customer experience? Nicolette, you want to take us through this?
Yeah, so generative AI, like chatbots, are a tool that are gaining lots of popularity within the financial sector. Chatbots have a wide range of capabilities that can enhance the customer experience, increase revenue, and reduce customer service costs for a bank or financial institution. For example, chatbots are able to provide real-time feedback. They can answer questions posed by investors or employees regarding various investment vehicles, companies, portfolio recommendations, investment strategies. They can also collect information from existing and potential customers, including customers' personal information that they obtain through an onboarding process, risk tolerance, money contribution, and the like. Chatbots also are being used to automate tasks like handling customer complaints. A common example that Bank of America customers might be familiar with is Erica. Erica is a pretty popular, well-known AI-powered chatbot, and that has enabled the bank to quickly respond to voice and text chat and other on-screen interactions from clients that are seeking immediate assistance with financial transactions. Erica's claimed to have a whole suite of capabilities and able to proactively deliver personalized insights, advice, eligibility notifications to the specific clients at key moments.
Well, what about some other uses? I think, Dina, you mentioned detecting fraud. How does AI detect fraud?
Well, AI technologies, right, such as machine learning and deep learning, they can analyze large amounts of data. And they analyze that data by looking at patterns, right? So if there is an anomalous pattern, a different pattern, that is an indication of an anomaly, right? An indication of anomaly often indicates a fraudulent activity or some sort of an activity that should not be happening, right? And a lot of financial institutions are doing research in the space because AI models can detect fraud quickly. So whereas it would take hours or days to detect it, AI can detect the anomalous patterns in real time. Right. And detecting fraud in real time is extremely important because that is when there's a greater likelihood of preventing it. Right. So this can extend to things like payment fraud, identity fraud, phishing attacks on a system that can be occurring. Right. But in a nutshell, Eugene, to answer your question, AI models are trained to analyze data. They detect patterns. They detect a pattern that is anomalous, and that is an indication of a fraud that can be occurring.
All right. So far, I've been hearing so many amazing implementations for AI. Sounds like there's a win-win situation. Or am I missing something? Are there some pitfalls?
Well, as Dina has been mentioning, AI is trained on data, so it learns by example. And the more diverse the data is, the more use cases AI can cover when it's implemented in the real world. Some and probably most of the data that AI uses for analytics and investment predictions is readily available or public information, like market data and trading statistics. And typically, financial institutions and banks subscribe to receiving this kind of data, so there's no issue with using it in AI-based models. But financial institutions may run into an issue when they want to use other data that they don't have access to. AI developers might try to get this data from the web and can end up using it without the proper consents.
Yeah, and just to follow up on what Nicole said, because AI models are trained on data, data is huge, right? And the more data that has that covers different variants and use cases, the better your model will be, right? So the question becomes, how do you get data, right? There is data that a party can license. So that's the data that you have consent to. Right. You can buy data from third parties, or as I discussed earlier, you can create data. Right. Where a lot of companies are running into trouble is when they're trying to get data, such as data available on the internet, and that data is copyrighted and really belongs to somebody else. Right. But that data has use cases that, the developers and engineers want to include in their model. So how do you get that data, right? And oftentimes it's just an issue of consent, right? And having a legal department requesting whether that data can be used, right? By the owner, because a huge issue becomes when this model is trained on a data that a company can't use. Because once the model is trained, it becomes very difficult, if not impossible, to remove that data from the model, right? And that can set the company back in as much as months or even years if they need to actually start from scratch and begin to retrain the model. So, you know, the global theme here is if you need data, make sure you have consent to use that data to train your AI. Because if you don't, you may need to start from scratch in the worst case scenario.
All right. Well, is there a way for a company to determine if somebody else is using their data? I mean, I'm talking about a situation where you know, I understand AI being sold as a black box at many instances, but is there still a way to determine if somebody else is using your information, your data, your training information without your consent?
So there's a lot of research that is going into this space, right? And there are data providers that license their data, right? But some of those providers may not want to have that data being used as part of AI models, right? And if that data is used, maybe they want to the company pay for that data, for that additional use of using AI. So what the data provider started doing is looking at different ways that data can be watermarked, right? So they can tell whether somebody else is using the data inside their model, right? Now, this is easier said than done for some types of data versus others, right? If you're talking about image data, that data can be watermarked and the watermark can be seen in the model's output, right? If you're talking about text data, the issue becomes more difficult. Like, for example, how do you watermark text? So there's a lot of research going on by the data providers in how to in different ways they can watermark their text data to make sure that they're able to identify that another party is using that data in their AI models. Something else that I've seen is source code issues, right? You can have developers that are using AI models to generate code, right? And it's somewhat prevalent in the financial industry. Right. So what happens if a model generates code that's copyrighted by somebody else? Yeah, just because that model was trained initially on copyright code, on the copyrighted code, right? And that code may not be used without a license. Right. So the question becomes, what happens then? And if the banks should be using AI models to generate code? But the general takeaway from all of this is, you know, if you're using AI model and it generates a result, right, make sure that you have rights to use that result. And a lot of this really can be dealt with you know, all the contract law, right, by reading terms and conditions and bargaining for what type of data and the model output can and cannot be used.
All right, well, let's talk about the other side of the coin. Gina, you explained data about that belongs to the AI implementing company. What about data of the customer? Nicola, you want to get us started?
Yeah, so using customer data can pose some risks, as I'm sure we all do. Customers expect their personal and especially financial data to remain private. So financial institutions that want to use their customers' data would generally need to obtain consent, even if the data is being anonymized first before use. But consent can be achieved at the outset when a customer creates a new account or signs up with a bank, or by updating those terms and conditions that we all speed read through, and an opt-out option can always be given for customers who don't consent to their data being used for AI purposes.
Right. Also, anonymizing the data, right, would not necessarily help you with data bias, right? There is a one pitfall where a company needs to protect the privacy of a user, right? But then there is another one where if you're using user-generated data, that data may have inherent bias in it just because of the types of users that were using the system, right? And it could be like race bias, age bias, ethnicity, national origin, right? That bias can be in the data. And if AI model is trained on that data, the model itself can be biased. Right. And this has been a huge issue in the financial sector, because if you have data bias, right, in the models. All of a sudden, you can have a certain type of individuals that are not getting the mortgage approvals, right? And then you're getting into Title VII issues. So the industry has been taking affirmative steps to minimize the impact of the data bias in the AI models.
All right. Well, here's kind of an outlier question for you. I've heard a bunch of concerns regarding generative AI models. You know, for example, ChatGPT. And the concerns that I've heard is that a company can end up giving away trade secrets inadvertently. Now, is that a real valid concern, or are these people talking without understanding the full scope of how ChatGPT or some of these models operate?
So it may not be an issue specific to ChatGPT per se, but it is an issue specific to chatbot models. Right, especially models that are being that have the data coming in and they're being trained and retrained in real time. Right, so the issue, like when you're in that, no one wants to give away a trade secret, right, accidentally, but it happens, right? And the way it can happen with a generative AI is you're writing a technical spec, right, or you're writing something for the meeting. And you decide to use a chat model to make it sound better, right? So the chat model will proofread whatever text you put in. Well, if that model is being trained in real time, it would proof the text for you, generate an output, and then it would learn on that text, right? So if that text that you put into the model includes a trade secret, right, and the model learns on the trade secret, somebody else who is using that model, particularly if it's a public model, can essentially get an output that includes your trade secret, right? And it's becoming a huge concern, right, for the models that are being trained in real time. Like if you're using closed models, such as ChatGPT, for example, that model is not being trained in real time. So whatever data that goes in is not being used to train the model. So you can't give away a trade secret with a closed model, right? At the same time, no one knows if a company is not storing your queries to essentially train future models, right? So there may be some sort of an exposure of giving away the trade secret that way with the closed models. But you know, long story short, what a lot of chatbot companies are trying to do with their models right now, they're limiting the amount of text that you can put into the model. So instead of putting a paragraph in, you may be able to put a sentence in, right? And if you're putting sentences in rather than the entire paragraph or a document, there is less of a risk that the trade secret would be used to train the model or being exposed.
Got it. Well, listen, this sounds like a lot of content for our listeners to digest. So any closing remarks?
I'll just say this. AI, it's a great tool, but that's what it is. It is a tool. It will get better, but if financial institutions are using AI and they are using it, they should be aware of the pitfalls and should try to take affirmative steps to minimize them before they become a problem.
Thank you very much for that. And thank you for both of our guests and our panelists and to our listeners for joining us on this episode of AI Chats. You can find today's episode and all future ones on all major podcasts and the platforms such as Apple, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon. Our podcast and related articles about AI topics can also be found at the firm's AI and Deep Learning practice page, which can be found at HaynesBoone.com. Our practice page also contains contact information for all the lawyers in the practice group. Please feel free to reach out to any of us if you'd like to suggest topics for further AI Chats episodes. Thank you very much, and take care.